He knew that if he had won the election, this would be his last opportunity to serve as president of the United States. And there will not be a minute to waste. And you can see his resolve already and how quickly he's making really good, smart picks. I know he's already pulled a few really talented people out of the House, hopefully no more for a little while until special elections can come. But it shows you the talent that we have.
So a lot of discussion about these cabinet picks that the president-elect has been making. And I understand, look, people, not everybody's going to be happy with everything. And I think that when you're looking at these selections, I think what, you know, people kind of need to keep in mind is that, first off, I look at the skill set that the, well, I look at whether or not they're like a rights hater, but I look at the skill set and, you know, their experience, especially if it's like a really focused area. I look at that first, and then I go and I look at, you know, their record, their skill set, and also have they advocated in that particular area ever against the agenda that the Office of the Executive is promoting. And I think that needs to be, that's kind of like my criteria for sort of, you know, measuring these candidates. Now, welcome first off to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. We're at the top of this first hour, and it's Tuesday. It is officially a week since the historic election, and we are kind of watching. Let's just talk about these cabinet positions for a minute, particularly the ones that have to do with the House or that are taking from the House. And this is what I'm actually this is what I'm actually concerned about. When you look at the map, whether it's the RCP map, whatever map it is, and you're looking at the total, you do not want to reduce. We have a narrow margin of victory. It's a victory nonetheless, but it is a narrow margin of victory. And we are pulling House members for, now that the caveat, the official filing for these individuals to be in these cabinet positions hasn't happened yet, but they've been announced. And you're pulling from the House for the cabinet. The problem is you're reducing the majority of the House, and you're going to make it smaller than what we have now. And I want to be real careful with that. So Rubio was picked as the Secretary of State. So Trump announced that Rubio, and again, I know the filing all has to go through, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of a formality at this point when POTUS, and they go through their confirmation. It's a formality at this point. So he's nominating Rubio for Secretary of State. And starting with him, I don't think that's a bad pick for Rubio. Now, this is, I want to kind of be in, not instructful like in lecturing, but just insightful in terms of how to evaluate these candidates. Have I ever agreed with Marco Rubio and everything? Absolutely not. Have I been incredibly harsh of him, particularly, again, going back to Parkland Town Hall when he crumbled on stage with gun rights? Yes. However, he is pretty strong with foreign policy. He's pretty strong and pretty in line with the rest of the electorate where it concerns Ukraine. He's a little bit more hawkish on NATO than Trump is, but it's not anything so much so that the daylight is staggering. And he is a staunch defender of our singular ally in the Middle East, Israel. And I like the way that he's handled some of the pro-Hamas protesters. So I don't think that this is a bad selection for this. I really don't. He's going to be playing to his strengths as a lawmaker and to none of his weaknesses. And that is how you have to look at using these particular lawmakers in these positions. If you're putting them in these insular spots, these insulated positions where they can play to their strengths, and not so much, you know, get into these areas where they're not very, you know, they're not, maybe they differ, maybe they're at odds with the electorate. I mean, I'm fine with this. I think this is okay. My only criticism, he's coming from the Senate. We have others that are being pulled from the House. Taking him from the Senate, we can maybe spare a seat. DeSantis will be nominating his replacement in Florida. And already there are a number of really strong on immigration, where it concerns border security, strong where it concerns hitting back at Big Pharma, you know, all that stuff. So I'm not worried about his Senate seat. So I think that this is a pretty decent position. And Marco Rubio's district, even going into reelection, is pretty solid. So the gains that Republicans have made in Florida, I think, kind of outweigh any concerns that he would lose his seat. So this isn't really a gamble. I think this is a really good strategic pick. Looking at the House, you have at least Stefanik and Walz. Stefanik, she's been tapped to be the UN ambassador. Now, there are, and if you ask me pretty much about any of these lawmakers, as I would imagine, it's the same with you. If you're like, well, do you agree with these lawmakers on everything? No, nobody agrees with these lawmakers on everything. There's certain, I disagree with her in certain spots. I think that in certain spots, she's kind of moderate. However, I think her being in the UN, very similar to Rubio, she has a certain set of strengths, and her being at the UN taps into that. And so she's not near fiscal policy, because I think that's where I kind of think she's a moderate, is fiscal, very much so. She's going to be in a position that's playing to her strengths. She, again, very similar to Rubio in that she's, you know, strong where it concerns, you know, pushing back against Ukraine, strong with regards to our ally in the Middle East, Israel. And I think that she complements the Rubio pick well. And this sends a message, I think, too, about where Trump is going for foreign policy and how he's viewing the Middle East and how things are going to dramatically change from Obama, Biden, Harris. And so my only concern here with this, and this is a concern where she, because she had a competitive when she ran for her seat, it was competitive. I'm a little bit worried about what happens to her seat, and you're going to kneecap a narrower majority in the House than you have the Senate. And so when you're talking about Trump's agenda and all of these things that he wants to pass, remember, one of the criticisms against his previous term was that he did too much executively. He did too much with executive order, and he didn't shepherd enough to make it permanent through the House, tax cuts being one of those. The reasons why tax cuts sunset and are not permanent, and hopefully that's one of the first things that they fix, is because he was using the levers of executive order instead of shepherding it through. And I understand, I get it. This is a consequence of being new. However, I think he needs to be careful with this so as to not jeopardize any his majority. And you don't want to, because if it keeps going this way, already taking out Walz and Stefanik, we're going to be reducing our majority to that of something more narrow than what we have now. And I just want to be careful with that, because it's going to be pretty tight. So I just want to be careful with that. And then the same thing with his, I'm going to pull this up, his selection of Walz. And this is going into his national security advisor, Mike Walz. I wonder how many people, because you have Tim Walz in your head still from last week, like just kind of almost had a stroke right then because I said that. Now he's talking about Mike Walz out of Florida. So he's tapping him to be his NatSec advisor. And Walz, I think Walz is a great pick because Walz is a hardcore, not hawkish, but he's realistic and practical about China and hardcore anti-CCP. So I'm totally fine with this. But again, you're looking at reducing a number in the House, and want to be careful with that. So we're going to talk more about these picks because I think for the most part, the ones so far have been pretty decent. I think Tom Homan is a great pick. He's a great pick going at being the border czar. The one thing I will say now, all right, you knew there was something. I will say there's one exception, and it's because I don't know what strengths this plays to. So it hasn't been announced yet, but I think it's being floated as a trial balloon. CNN apparently had the scoop this morning, and that's where I saw it trending because it was CNN. And I want to wait and see whether or not it's announced, because it's being floated. Someone said that it leaked through CNN. Now, here's what this could be. If Trump hasn't announced this particular appointment because they were still considering it, then two things for it getting leaked to CNN, two things happen. Either one, someone who opposes it leaked it to CNN to try to get up a bunch of people to criticize it. Or two, they're trial ballooning it to see what the public reaction would be. It's one of the two. But it leaked somehow. So they are, apparently, Kristi Noem is being tipped to head DHS. Now, Kristi Noem is not my favorite governor. Was she a horrible governor? No, she wasn't a horrible governor. And again, I caution people. I don't care about any of these people. However you serve me is all I measure them by. I'm not here to be their friends. I'm not here to kiss their ass. I'm not here to kiss a ring. I don't do submissions, okay? I do what do you do for me, because I'm the voter. That's how you should look at it too. So she wasn't a horrible governor, but she wasn't a great governor. And I'm not going to go in and relitigate it. She actually was stopped by her legislature from shutting down her state. She tried to shut down her state, and her Republican legislature stopped her. So I wanted, that's the reason why they didn't shut down. It wasn't because she fought it, because she was, I mean, I have receipts. I've written about it. A million other people have too. That aside, the reason I put that out there is I see people touting that as justification for this being a good pick. And even if she hadn't shut her state down, what the hell does that have to do with DHS? Why are we not ending this department? I don't care who you put in there. Why are we not ending this department? I mean, has the border improved? Has border security improved? I mean, look at Trinidad-Aragua. That's a DHS issue. Why are we even dealing with that right now? DHS has been a disaster since its implementation. It's a vestige of the Patriot Act. Why are we even messing around with this bloated, ineffective department? No, the only way that you fix it is to completely eliminate it. That's the reality of the matter. So I don't know what qualifications she would have as DHS secretary. I don't know. I don't see that. I don't know what strengths she would have that plays to. I have no idea why. So if that ends up being the case, this one's a head scratcher, because I have no idea why. I mean, unless she's like, you know what, I'm going to take you know, I'm going to make this joke. I don't want to hear it. You owe me, because I had to watch all the debates. So indulge me. Is she going to take DHS to the gravel pit? That's all I'm saying. I mean, the other thing is she's going to drone the hell out of everybody who joked about her dog. You know that. It's true. But but in all like seriousness, I don't understand this pick if true. So we're going to wait and see if it's confirmed. But I don't get that one. That's the one I'm like kind of scratching my head at. We got to talk about the left losing their ever loving minds over this. Because the reaction, so apparently deep state is losing it. FEMA, well, this is on the heels of their whole, we're gonna bypass the houses that have Trump signs, like it's the blood of the lamb on the door. They're freaking out. All of the FBI, all of these agencies are very upset. And I don't know if it's because they keep saying revenge. Accountability isn't revenge, though. To make sure that these departments are running as they should be, that's not revenge. So we're gonna dive into all of that as well. We're also gonna are we actually gonna see like a Javier Milei sort of ending to big government? We're gonna discuss that. We have to get into the ongoing disaster that is the Harris wind down. It gets bad because now Oprah's beefing. So we got all of this and a lot more to get into as we barrel towards headlines. Our partners at Preborn, a great organization out there saving lives, saving babies, bringing women to faith. And that's what Preborn does. So, you know, a lot of pro-life advocacy, a lot of people think that the focus is only on just right at that moment. And it is important. You know, you want to meet women where they are and you want to counsel them and be like, this is your infant. Would you like to see an ultrasound? Would you like to hear the heartbeat? Because when that's done, the infant's chance at life doubles. Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women who are considering abortion. They have saved over 300,000 babies. Over 80,000 women have come to Christ, and every day they rescue 200 babies from abortion. They're leading the charge in this nation to turn the country around. They don't stop there. Here's the other thing that's amazing. Preborn clinics, they work with mothers who choose life, and they provide them with maternity care, baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, so much more. And these services are provided free of charge. They partner with them up into the toddler years. That is huge. You don't that's the thing that often goes unmentioned in the whole discussion about life and preborn. And so many of these, so many pro-life activists have been changing this, and preborn's done such a great job. You can help them do it at preborn.com/Dana. $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds. Any donation amount helps. And when you sponsor monthly, you get ultrasound pictures of the babies you're helping to save. All gifts are tax deductible. Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Visit preborn.com/Dana and save a baby, a mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana.
As soon as Trump got elected, liberal cities tightened up. After Trump won, Eric Adams stopped giving cash to migrants. A 6-person household was receiving $1,700 a week, while American families ravaged by hurricanes were receiving a $750 FEMA check. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Bitcoin's topped 89,000 as crypto euphoria over Trump's win shows no sign of waning. And I mean, isn't crypto always doing well, though? It's like every day, everyone's like, crypto's doing real well. I'm like, okay, isn't it always, though? But like, not really. Not really, though, right? I don't know. Kane and I are going to have to talk about this at some point. Anyway, it's doing good. Bitcoin's doing really good. Let's see. Okay. Phrasing. This headline, Sting says Sean Diddy Combs allegations don't taint his hit song, Every Breath You Take. Is that really the word he wants to use there? Is that the word he really wants to use? Also, is anybody surprised that Diddler was like, wow, this is a song about stalking, sexy stalking. I'm gonna cover it. Anybody like surprised at that? No? I mean, think about it. I read an interview where Sting says that he's always weirded out when people sing along to it or if they play it at their weddings. It weirds him out. If you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Applebee's and IHOP are going to open the first ever combo restaurant in the United States. Yeah, it's the dual branded in Seguin, Texas. It's going to be the first quarter of next year. Apple Hop. That's right. Yeah. The first combo, IHOP and Applebee's. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us, because why did they recall 80,000? Pounds of butter. At BlackRifleCoffee.com, they have Freedom Roast. It's new, smooth, full of flavor, 20% off with code Dana. And with Black Rifle Coffee, it's Freedom Roast is like, I feel like the founders, no, I know the founders would have drank this coffee. They would have. You can get it in ground whole bean, 12-count rounds, and you can subscribe to the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep, so you never have to wake up in the morning and go, oh my gosh, we're out of coffee. What am I going to do? You're never going to run out, and you're always going to have your favorite coffee on hand. No last-minute trips. Veteran-owned, veteran-run, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Now, by the way, when you go to their website, you can also check out apparel and kettles and grinders and mugs and more, everything you need for the perfect brew. So get your freedom on with Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. Taste other top-shelf roasts as well, like Just Black, which is a favorite, Silencer Smooth, which is one of my all-time favorites. But whatever you decide, you get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio, obviously. You know the way. Clearly, you're listening somehow. I'm like, hi, you're watching Channel 357, DirecTV, or you're streaming us online or listening to us terrestrially around the country. I want to play this audio soundbite from The View. Can I just do real quick a public service announcement to content creators? Quit betting crappy music into your soundbites, because you make it really difficult for people who are in podcasting and people who stream on YouTube and Rumble. We get cited copyright citations every damn time. And then we end up having to cut your stuff. So you can't collaborate with anybody. You can't earn revenue on your clip. You can't do any of that. So stop doing it. Unless you played it and put it on there, stop it. Because most of the time, it's horrible music. It's horribly mixed because it muddies the listenings. It makes it harder for people to hear the actual soundbite. And it has nothing to do with the clip. Stop it. All right. That said, I want to play this audio soundbite of The View, where they are talking about how you maybe, if you're a Democrat or whatever, don't go visit your Trump voting family for the holidays. Listen to this nonsense.
Children, would you,
yeah,
if it meant not seeing
I appreciate
children?
The voters, but I will say, somebody who tells me that my child is wrong because of how he or she feels, that tells me that they shouldn't be allowed to be who they are with my permission, I have to question it. I don't want to put my kid in that position.
Exactly.
I don't want to put my gay child in a position where she has to sit with someone who doesn't understand her and feels like it's okay to just blurt all that out. That's just me. But I feel like that is with mixed families, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things where you don't have to put your family in the middle of it. You can have dinner at another point.
Oh my gosh,
it might
the music's
not be
killing
the time
my soul.
To gather,
almost as much
you know
as Whoopi is.
Be some tension. That's what I'm saying.
So this is them. They're saying. I mean, this is why they lost. First off, they lost because of this stuff. This is just so stupid. It's nonsense. Why? What do they think he's going to go out and like attack gay people? He had Rich Grinnell in his cabinet last time around. And I think he's considering him again. So what's this? I don't understand what they're making this up. Can you imagine living in a world where you just fabricate an argument out of the ether for yourself to argue about because you don't have anything else? It's exactly what they're doing here. So Steve goes, good news, I just Shazammed it and it's not copyright music. Well, thank the heavens. But still, why have the music in there, right? What did that do? Did that add anything to it for you? And right in the middle of it too. Stop it. But this idea that you can't reconcile with people because of who they voted for, I know what this is like because I deal with this with my own family. I had a portion of my family completely excommunicate me. And this was this was actually before Parkland, right? When I guess I've always been a 2A person, but I guess right when my advocacy some years back began, I guess, ascending to a national level or whatever. And it made, because some of my family, a portion of them, and I'm not going to name names unless they try me, but are very, 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 very Marxist left. And that is not an exaggeration. Like when you think that the government doesn't do enough for you, when you think the government should control everything, when you think everyone should be disarmed, when you think that there should be a standard living wage, it's a Marxism. They're Marxists. And everything was completely fine. And we could all coexist so long as they got to say what they said and I just shut up. Everyone was fine. And then people are like, well, you changed. I didn't change. You just pulled your head out of your ass and started actually paying attention to other people other than self-aggrandizing all the time. Instead of navel gazing, instead of obsessing over yourself, you came up for air for 1 second and started paying attention to what other people in your immediate circle felt and believed. And by the way, I always had these feelings. I always believed what I believed. I just didn't browbeat people over it. But that wasn't good enough. If your family disinvites you from the holidays, F them. Oh, it's not a nice thing to say. And that's why I said it. Because sometimes people need to just get told. Screw them. Screw them. Screw them, family. If they're going to disinvite you, hell no. You know what? As you get older, you learn how you got to cut some of that dead weight off anyway, right? You just move on. Because doors will open and better people will come. I know exactly what that's like because it's happened to me. I've literally been disinvited. Not just me, my children were disinvited. Like I wasn't the only one who was excommunicated. Like my children were excommunicated, which I thought was petty and ridiculous. And so that's all right. Go ahead and do it because you just confirmed to me what I kind of suspected anyway. That's all right. I don't need that. I don't want to be around that anyway. But these people that do that, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't sit here and act like you're wholesome or that you value people because you reduce everyone down to political ideology. Just as they get so mad at what they perceive to be misogynist or sexist, that's its own sort of version of misogyny. Because you're instead of using the variable of sex, you're using a political ideology. Your rights, because someone believes differently from you on how government should be instructed and implemented, doesn't mean that they hate you and that they're trying to kill. And if you honestly believe that, you have mental issues. And this is one of the reasons why we need to have nationwide asylums, and you need to go in one. Because you're too stupid to function peacefully in a general population. I'm just so tired of it. And the idea for like, oh, racially mixed. The only people promoting this are the left. The only people who say this over and over again are the left. The most racist people I have ever met in my life have been on the left. I was raised in a family of Democrats. I can say that with 100% certainty. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've watched it. That's how I was raised. Every time, without exception, the most sexist treatment I've ever received has been at the hands of the left. I've never had a man on the right, even when he disagreed with me, even if he's being a jackass on social media, never had a man on the right like put me down and act like, oh, can I just speak to your boss, woman? But I have had Eric Swalwell tell me that verbatim. I've had other Democrats tell me that. This is a fantasy that they've constructed to give themselves a pass on their own bigotry, their own sexism, their own racism, their own xenophobia, their own misogyny. Everything that they accuse everyone else of is just projected blame because they're trying to get rid of it. They exercise their culpability and accountability by accusing others of doing what they've done. I don't know what kind of self-help tactic that is, but it's clearly not working. It's like when Justine Bateman was making her remarks, and I don't know if she's conservative or not. How crazy is this? I want you to think about this for a moment. How wild is it that you don't actually know if someone's a conservative or a Democrat, because what they're saying is just practical common sense, right? But the left has gone so far left that to just exhibit common sense or any level of practicality is considered to be right wing. Think about it for a moment. I bring this up because Justine Bateman on X was talking about, the video critiques that she was doing. And someone commented to her about her brother, Jason Bateman, who was in Ozark and all this. Justine Bateman, if you're unfamiliar, she was made famous first on Family Ties. She's an actress. And now she's behind the camera. She's incredibly witty. I don't know what, I really don't care what her politics are. She just doesn't seem like a jackwagon, and that's what matters to me. And someone remarked to her, oh, something about her brother would be disappointed or something. And then someone else said, well, your brother's a big lefty, so you should, you should disinvite him to something or other. I forget how they put it. And she was saying, my brother's my brother and I love him. And what he believes politically is of no consequence to me. And she was like, we're family. And I'm like, that's how it should be. You're family. That's how it should be. And when you're family, you don't go at each other publicly. You don't leak to the press. You don't give quotes to the press. You know, you don't smack talk your family to the community. I unfortunately can't say that I've enjoyed any of that courteous treatment. And I applaud her for standing up to it. And say, no, I'm not doing this. Because I feel the same way. Until you come at me. But I feel the same way. You don't turn on people over politics like this. The crazy thing is that, and I'm sure you guys can do an evaluation of your own lives and see how many of you can still count people in your circle that who are on the left that are your friends and you've not done anything to drive them away. It amazes me. And this is how the left has always been. And now they're going through this existential crisis, having lost last week. But like when we moved from St. Louis to Texas, we had a group of friends who, the moment that I started getting involved in gun rights advocacy nationally, oh my gosh, it was a 180, making up stories to the press, trying to trash, you know, my family, trying to go at my kids. People that I knew, people that we'd been in business with, people that who were avowed leftists. I mean, some of these people had some pretty unsavory family connections of their own, just got to say. I never used any of that against them. And I could. I could drag people for drug use and alcoholism and all kinds of stuff. And I never did that. Could. Never did. Because I was just like, what's the point? Oh, my gosh. But people making stuff up. Like, I had somebody who was a friend who was like, oh, you know. I guess they thought, because I was a lot younger than these people. My husband's like 8 years older than me. And I was a lot younger than some of these people. And I guess I realized how sexist they were. And how misogynistic they were, because they looked at me as though I was younger. I was a vessel to fill, so to speak, and someone whose perspective needed to be shaped. And the quotes that they were giving to the press was, oh, well, she's so impressionable and she can be molded. And we thought that she, you know, could have been somebody who could have been an advocate for the left. That was actually a quote someone who I considered a friend gave to the press because they were fame whores and they wanted attention. I've lived with this. To see this spread across the country makes me sad. How many families are going to be broken because Democrats are nuts? How many families are going to have split Thanksgiving dinners because someone is such an idiotic Marxist and so self-obsessed that they can't get over themselves enough to stop dehumanizing their family over political beliefs? What in the hell is wrong with you? You are jacked up. You have mental issues that go beyond politics. So for those people out there who are going through that, I'm sorry that you have to go through it. But you know what? You're better off without those people. They're trash. And if they don't love you because you're family and they can't accept you because of you just simply want to be left alone and believe in not paying an exorbitant amount of tax and want your guns and just want to, you know, otherwise live a happy life, then they're trash people and they don't deserve your presence at their crappy little table. And you go and you have your own Thanksgiving and your own Christmas celebrations with people who are going to better demonstrate the reason for the season with unconditional love. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hey, Oprah, good morning. How are you, darling?
Oh, boy.
You looking very good. How do you think the election went?
Not talking about the election, thank you very much.
Oh, is it true that they paid you $1 million for the endorsement for Kamala?
Not true.
Not true, okay.
I was paid nothing, ever.
What do you think about all the celebrities with their mass exodus?
I'm not talking about
that. Do you think Prince Harry's going to lose his visa now that Trump's president?
I love it.
Thank you, Oprah.
She got totally paid. By the way, can I just remark on the very nice Aussie accent? They sound so cheerful. And you know, they're like, even if they're going to fight you, they're like, yeah, I'm going to stab you right now. All right, mate. you're like, okay. But I loved the questioning. She totally got paid. Why are they doing this? Why are they going on this line that, oh no, Oprah didn't get paid? Well, that's not true. They're actually going to die on that. They're going to say that didn't happen. There are actual receipts. Herpo Productions got two separate payments totaling $1 million. And they're trying to say that the Washington Examiner had a piece where they had asked Oprah about it and they were disputing it to the Washington Examiner, saying, no, that's not true. But $1 million went to her Herpo Productions. And then she showed up. That's how a lot of this goes. They'll pay through a third party and then the third party pays the person. So that way, because of the public filings, so the campaign's name doesn't appear, or the it doesn't appear like they're paying directly the person. So that's stupid. They're like, no, she wasn't paid a personal campaign. You're really going to do that? Because we know that that's absolutely garbage. We know that she got paid. They got paid. And but what they're trying to say is that, oh, well, Oprah, she didn't get a personal fee. It was $1 million to Harpo. A friend of mine goes, they really want to say that Oprah did not personally accept a bag of money with a dollar symbol on it? Really? Is that what you're going to argue? I mean, here's, like, it's Scrooge McDuck money bags, right? Here's your Scrooge McDuck money bag full of gold bullions. Like, that's not how she got paid $1 million. You can't, it's in the public file. It went to Harpo, which is Oprah backwards. Stop it. All right, coming up, we're going to have more of all that we still have cabinet picks to discuss. We also have Senate. We've got the left meltdown. Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, is hosting a listening forum with all of the three candidates for Senate Majority Leader this evening. And he asked last night, well, what questions would you have me ask? And I gave some suggestions. We'll talk about all of that and that 80,000 pound butter thing, because it's the dumbest story you'll hear today. Stay with us. The government theft agency wants your money because they got to spend it all more on people crossing the border illegally and sending money for pensions in Ukraine. So you need to help the IRS out. Just go ahead and give them everything. Oh, maybe you don't want to do that. Or maybe you're so stressed out because the IRS is so aggressive and they make it hard for you to do it because it's a Rube Goldberg machine of trying to comply, that you need experts like Tax Network USA. So let me tell you, Tax Network USA, they have consultants. They have people who do this every single day, skilled pros that will get you the best resolution for your tax issues so you get the most favorable outcome. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, whether it's for personal or business, they got the tools and experience to handle any situation. Whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income, they have tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. They you know what? They file over 10,000 returns and has saved $1 billion. Their people, $1 billion from the IRS. So don't wait. Visit TNUSA.com/Dana. Call 1-800-958-1000. Get your free consultation. Their experts will walk you through some simple questions to see how much you save. Act now, though. That's TNUSA.com/Dana. 1-800-958-1000. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. So Trump and Biden are expected to meet this week to, I guess, go over their transition, et cetera, et cetera. Have you been seeing the I saw the story, and I get it. They hate Melania Trump. I get it. But now they are saying that Melania Trump snubbed the offer to have tea with Jill Biden. She snubbed her. Now I don't really blame her. I got to be honest. They said that, oh, it was the traditional tea between first ladies, and she has declined to go. They're meeting. Trump and Biden are meeting on Wednesday, and they do this like this symbolic, you know, peaceful transfer of power. All of this, and then while that happens, the first ladies meet for tea in the White House residence, and Melania did not do it after 2020, and she has declined to attend this one. And they said that it's a scheduling conflict, is what they had said. Why does she have to go? I mean, I know that you're supposed to have this like symbolic transfer of peaceful transfer of power, but do you realize how many times the people in that White House tried to thwart it? Here's another way to look at it. Is the insistence on keeping up appearances just an effort to sweep? Does it aid this in dodging accountability? Because it seems like it gets swept up under the rug with an optic like this. Is that a fair question? Do you think so, Kane? Because I feel like it does. Yeah. I feel like when you do these sort of, oh, we're gonna have a tea, peaceful transfer of power. I wouldn't want to meet someone who got that, who actually tried to undermine a free and fair election. Right. And it seems like that by putting on this spectacle that you're aiding them in dodging accountability, because you're just sort of sweeping it under the rug and sort of stamping it as, well, it's not so much a big deal that we can't meet for tea. Like hell it is. That's how I look at it. I don't think that that's mean or partisan or petty. I think that that's a consequence of trying to do what they did. So I don't blame her for not wanting to have tea with them. I really don't. Apparently, do you remember there was a story over at Red State where they said that it was an old story about Melania Trump first meeting Michelle Obama in 2016. And apparently the accusation was that Michelle Obama treated her like trash. And the Melania Trump brought a gift, which was a Tiffany photo frame. And apparently Michelle Obama did not like it. And when she was on Ellen DeGeneres, her show, talking about the visit and how it went, she said, quote, I mean, this is like a state visit. So they tell you you're going to do this and they tell you you're going to stand here. Never before do you get this gift. So I was like, OK, what am I supposed to do with this gift? Like, she was complaining about it. Like, how you just handed it to me? Like, what? I don't know. It's just it just seemed kind of trashy to complain about it like that, right? Like, was she handing me, instead of going, well, it was very nice and thoughtful, you know, that she was, you know, whether or not it was protocol or not. And if she was asked the question of whether it was protocol, she could have said no. And I just think that it was just a kind gesture. That's all she had to say. She didn't have to go on and, you know, complain about it like this. That's trashy. That's just so trashy. So I can imagine, I just get the sense of Melania Trump, and whether or not I agree with her or not has nothing to do with us on all these issues. I know that we got to get out of this line of thinking. But I will say, she doesn't seem to be one that will suffer fools a second time, really, and be treated like this. Because isn't that kind of mean to just complain about? It's a Tiffany photo frame. It's not like it's a glass frame from Hobby Lobby. I mean, come on. Let's be real. So I don't know. I just don't know that I would want to go either. I will never forget when she handed her that. It was a beautiful blue box and it had a big white bow on it. And she handed it over. And Obama looked real nice about it. Michelle Obama was like, I just don't know what to do with this. I just don't know. And Melania Trump was so, it just was weird. I remember watching it and I remarked at the time, that is so awkward. Not that Melania Trump did it. Michelle Obama's reaction. Go back and find it on Google. It's up there. It was weird. I don't know. And by the way, it wasn't a breach of protocol because she brought Laura Bush a gift in 2009. And there's video of it. Michelle Obama literally handed Laura Bush a gift. You know what? Laura Bush didn't look around and make a big spectacle about looking around. Like, oh, drama. I hate that when people do that stuff for drama. That's my biggest pet peeve. Drama whores are my biggest pet peeve. I don't like people creating drama, men or women. So it was just weird. And at one point, she told Jimmy Fallon that she had a thought in her mind. She said the thought that was running through her mind the whole time was by Felicia. How ignorant are you? So why the hell would Melania Trump want to go and do this stuff again? No, I wouldn't either. And there you go. I wouldn't either. So I don't blame her on that. I also read that she was going to be a part-time first lady, where she was only going to live in Washington part-time. People don't realize they were really nasty to her in 2016. I don't care if you like Trump or not. I don't care if you like Melania Trump's positions on life or abortion or whatever. She's not an elected official. They were really nasty to her. And they ignored her. I think, what is it? The one designers who didn't, I think it was Dolce & Gabbana. All of the other fashion houses, and Dolce & Gabbana, they were criticized because they're gay dudes who run a fashion house, and they were criticizing like same-sex adoption and all this. They were, and they're very they're Catholic designers, very famous designers based in Portofino, I think. So they were the only ones who did not turn their back on her, and everyone else did. Like, she didn't get the Vogue covers. She didn't get any acknowledgments. She didn't get any invitations. No one said anything. They were nasty to her. There wasn't even the decorum of we're going to be respectful because of its elected office and because you are who you are, the wife of the president of the United States. They couldn't even do that. I felt bad for her. And I don't blame her for not wanting to live in the White House full time. If you are not, and she was not a political animal, and she had her son and they were married, they lived in New York. She was the wife of a CEO and she did her stuff on, she did her own thing. Which is very different from being a political animal and being like the wife of a longtime politician. When you have gone through that enough times, you're sort of used to the barbs and the arrows. And she, I think it really hurt her. So I don't blame her for not wanting to live in the White House. And I think people need to leave her alone. Leave her alone. I mean, clearly she was very focused on raising her son. There was also the criticism, too. I think this was, let me look at my 4.5-foot wide screen here. Look at my, no, okay, so there was a piece, too, where, and I had this say, this is actually from, this is in December, going into the inauguration, Trump's first term, because there was a lot of discussion as to whether or not they were going to move Barron Trump to D.C. to go to school. And remember, she did not move immediately to D.C. like for 6 months. She didn't move to D.C. with Barron because she had said she was going to, he was finishing his school term where he was. And she got a lot of criticism for that. Like, you're not moving your son to D.C. Don't you know that? I think, what's the school that they all send their kids to? Sidwell Friends or something. Like, presidents send their kids to these super, super richy rich private schools. And someone was like, doesn't she know that D.C. has private schools here and they would love to have a president's kids, or presidents always love to send their kids there? Yeah, they're super lefty schools. And that was back when people were still somewhat sane. If you wear a red hat now, people lose their minds. Can you imagine coming across the red hat guy's son? I mean, think about it. So I don't blame her. Leave her alone. Golly, leave her alone. What you can be prepared for, though, is during inauguration, you know that people like those broads at The View and everyone else are going to shred her for whatever she wears, however her hair is, however she moves, whatever she says, while they also uphold themselves as the party of Me Too, believe all women, and female empowerment. The irony, right? I feel bad for her. So a couple of things. I'm going to pull my notes up here. One of the things that I want to make sure that you are paying attention to is the appellate court fight. So the circuit judge elections, and there's going to be obviously, you know, when you got midterms coming up, please be aware of your circuit judge and your judicial elections, because Democrats have taken this time that Trump hasn't been in office. They've put a lot of effort into their judicial elections. You had 305 appellate court seats up for election in 2024. And you had like state Supreme Court seats. You had intermediate appellate court seats. This is incredibly important because when you consider, like, for instance, the fighting the college, free college for everybody, or fighting any kind of issue on illegal immigration, or dudes in girls' bathrooms and dudes on women's sports teams, gun laws, whatever it is, there is a pathway that everything must go before it reaches the Supreme Court, and it has to go through these judges. And so this is one of your lines of defense, and it's a very important line of defense to have. And so Democrats are already gearing up. I know you just went through an election cycle, but you know what? You would rather have too much liberty to attend to than too little. You have the momentum. You've got to strike while the iron is hot. You have to go all gas and no brakes while the iron is hot. You have a ton of momentum on your side. Do not lose it and allow people to get a little apathetic and then roll into midterms and start losing all these seats. So there's a lot of offices that are going to be coming up for re-election in just in 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, Democrats are going to try to thwart the POTUS elect's agenda. Your mandate that you gave him last week, 1 week ago, they're going to try to thwart this. And one of the ways, since they're limited right now, having lost power in D.C., One of the ways that they're going to try to do this is through these judicial elections. So you need to be vigilant. And this is something that we're going to talk more about as we go forward. And we're going to start looking. I'm going to start compiling a list of some of the most important ones to look at state by state, because they're going to really target this now that they're at. They want revenge somehow. And this is one of the ways they're going to do it. So you got to be very, very aware. And Elon Musk said his American PAC isn't going to go away or go dormant now that the general election's over. So hopefully Musk can be convinced to make sure that he's watching some of these elections as well. Because think about it, when they try to litigate anything with Tesla or Starlink or SpaceX, anything like that, or X, they got to go through all these. So maybe he can be prevailed upon to have American PAC, his America PAC, get involved in some of these judicial races. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's in the nation. And okay, yes, they share your values, but they also want to save you money. Because let's be honest, we're all broke. We're all broke in this Obama economy. It's still the Biden economy and the Kamala economy. I'm trying to say it all. It all works. But with Patriot Mobile, you're going to save money. I have this service. I have like the Cadillac service with Patriot Mobile. I've been all over the world. I've never had an interruption of my service. I've always had great connection. I never have any issue. And even if I did have a question, they have a great US-based customer service team that makes it so easy to not just switch, but to handle any issue you may have. They also have what they call Patriot Mobile One. So you have one phone, one carrier, multiple networks. You can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities, and you can manage both personal and business lines on one singular device. And they have access to all major networks. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. But don't be fooled by the cosplayers who pretend to share your values. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana today or call 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today and free activation using code Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a Spirit Airlines flight was forced to divert after it was shot at while trying to land. It was in Haiti. It left Fort Lauderdale and it was going to Port-au-Prince. And then it had to be diverted to the Dominican Republic, where it landed safely. One flight attendant was legit grazed by a bullet, according to the Miami Herald. They said that the airport in Port-au-Prince, they grounded all flights. No passengers were hurt, but... is anybody surprised? Anybody? I don't think so. It seems like, yeah, that's not anything that I'm actually surprised about. That's kind of crazy. Let's see here. What did you say, too, that they might delay the vote real quick?
Yeah.
The Senate vote?
I know that Ron Johnson was talking about a potential delay. It would have to be voted on, the majority.
The majority.
Yeah, so we'll see how that develops.
We're going to watch that one to see how that flies out. Amazon is developing driver eyeglasses to shave seconds off delivery. This means people will stop throwing packages over like walls and gates and stuff like that. Although most of my, I always have snacks and everything laid out for drivers. I'm like hardcore about it. But they said that they're developing smart eyeglasses to guide them in and around and within buildings. That's actually kind of neat, I guess, to make it speedier and more seamless. Because maybe sometimes, especially I guess if you're going to office buildings, it might be a little confusing. But they said they're trying to shave valuable seconds. That is some expert motion efficiency right there. Let's see this. Oh, a Navy Rear Admiral is going to give bombshell testimony to Congress about underwater UFOs that have been tailing nuclear subs. You know, because that's one of the big theories, is that the alien stuff is like under the sea, it's underwater. Rear Admiral Gallaudet has given voice to growing concern about strange apparent craft and their capabilities. And they said we need to research them more, get a better understanding of them. He's been before House Oversight on their UAP hearings before, so that's kind of interesting. I don't know. I mean, that's the theory anyway. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Now, I'm always going to tell you to carry. And I'm always going to tell you that I have zero issue with using lethal force to protect myself and my loved ones. That said, there are instances where you are blocked from carrying. I have very good friends who live in New York and Manhattan, and they have to because of work. One works in the legal system. One works in media. I have a friend in D.C. You know, they comes out of her workplace. Sometimes she's working till 11, 11:30 at night and has to go into a parking garage. doesn't want to worry about her safety, but yet every place is a gun-free zone. Doesn't matter if she has a license to carry or not. She got a Byrna SD. That's their most popular model. So if you don't know what the Byrna gun is, it's a non-firearm firearm that doesn't care about gun-free zones. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. Stun guns and all that, they only have like one or two rounds. This is five rounds. Five-round capability, and it provides a pretty powerful deterrent. It's legal in all 50 states, no background checks, no permits, can be shipped right to your front door, and it doesn't care, again, about gun-free zone areas. You need to check it out. They have different models. The Byrna SD is the most popular one. You can get different colors, different accessories, projectiles, all of it. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
President Biden, do you think that you can get a hostage deal by the end of your term?
I think you can get hit in the head by a camera behind you. All right. Thank you all. Thomas, the President...
So two things. He's either, as Gordon Lightfoot was talking about in his Sundown song, or he's just doesn't care. And he's just, you know, all out everything. He's the hammer and everybody's a nail. He is the barely functioning half sentient hammer and everyone's a nail. That was Joe Biden, who was in the White House, and he was asked whether or not he thinks he can get a hostage deal done by the end of his term. And he goes, do you think that you can get hit in the head by the camera behind you? What is that? That's so funny. By the way, how that reporter asked a question the way that Beavis and Butthead made fun of girls on Instagram talking about stuff. Why is everything a question? Why does everything go up at the end? Why do you always talk like this? I asked President Biden, like, stop. But what was that? He's like, do you think you can get hit in the head by the camera behind you? What is that? Was he telling her he hopes she gets hit in the head? Was that his way of telling her to pound sand? I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's in the Oval Office. I don't know what that was. It was weird.
I think okay. He knows he can't do a hostage deal and he didn't want to admit it.
He didn't want to admit it. So he just decided, I'm going to say something. Is he faking this so he can just distract from how bad he is? Think about it. That's a really good get out of jail free card there, right? Like, I just don't know that my policies are so bad. Look at me. I can't walk in the sand. Look at me. Do you want to get hit in the head by the camera? What? Can we show this video? Where was this at with Harris and Jill Biden? Where was this? I don't know what it was, just happened.
Yeah, it was
something that they had at the White House.
That's right. I forgot what it was. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, they just had it. I don't know. I think it's amazing.
That was at the Arlington National Cemetery for Veterans
Day. That's what it was. It was for Veterans Day. So there are a couple of different cuts. One cut shows Kamala Harris like arriving with Doug Emhoff and taking her seat, and Joe Biden just sits there, just still as a statue, doesn't greet her, says nothing. The second clip that Juan is showing is just right after she sits down. It's from a different vantage point. They do not talk at all. So Kamala Harris arrives. She takes her seat. Jill Biden does not look up at her. She does not address her when she arrives. She does not acknowledge her. The first video is a little grainy. May not be as good, but it shows them arriving. It shows them walking up to their seats and getting, and then Jill Biden just, and then they're sitting there right after Kamala Harris sits down. Kamala and Jill are sitting there side by side. Jill does not turn to her to acknowledge her at all. What is happening? Well, I mean, I know they don't like each other. Jill Biden has never liked Kamala Harris. Let's be honest about that. She has never liked her. So I'm here for that. Oh, Juan's showing you the video. Juan's getting the video ready where she's showing up and she shakes who's Jill? Jill Biden sitting by Antony Blinken. She shows up, and at first, because I watched the video, and I thought maybe at first when she extends her arm, it looks like she's saying something to Jill Biden, but she's not. She's talking to the people behind Jill. Jill Biden says nothing to her. Here's the Juan showing. She reaches out. She's reaching for Antony Blinken's hand. Jill Biden doesn't move. They don't say anything. She doesn't say anything to her. Nothing. I mean, what in the world? And still doesn't.
Is it chilly in here?
And Kamala Harris, notice, like, she keeps turned towards Jill Biden, like she's inviting something. Jill Biden's, like, staring straight ahead. She's like, you might as well be my husband trying to walk on the sand, because, B, I don't see you. I don't see you. Are you? I know, it just got super chilly. Golly, the cold doesn't bother me anyway. It's frigid. Damn, that's ice cold. So, yeah, it's just gonna be quite interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. Very interesting. So, I don't know. It's, I can't wait for the tell-all books. I think that they're having Joe do one now before he can't function anymore. Oh man, you know some dirt is going to be slung. Because this is one thing with these Democrats. They do not forgive. So that's going to be some great reading for, I love that for us. It's going to be some great reading for us coming up. So you guys are probably going to have some really good beach reads, right? So exciting. I might actually buy a book about from some leftists just to read all the smack that they're going to talk about each other. It's going to be crazy because they're so mad at each other and it's just now bubbling up. It is just now bubbling up. But they're realizing, though, that all of their messaging was horrible. Have you noticed also that their protests have been pretty anemic? I don't know what's going to happen with the inauguration. That might be different because right now for them, Biden at least is still in the White House, and that's how they look at it. Inauguration may be different. It might be a repeat of 2016. But I will say, even in 2016, right after Trump won, there were protests everywhere. Like the days after he won, there were protests everywhere. Steve said there's been zero protests there in D.C. I haven't seen any. I haven't heard of any. There was like one little organized one. I think, what was it, in Manhattan? And then that was it. But it was mostly Gaza, like pro-Hamas people. There's something about it. I don't know what. There's something about it. It's different this time around. It's very different. And I think people are starting to realize, Democrats lost a lot of allies. They don't have, their coalition is in tatters. It is a mess for them. I don't know what they're going to do. And then you got four. Bob Casey is like, I'm not going anywhere. You're really helping out a lot, Bob Casey. Listen to this.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Casey. My priority has always been standing up for the people of Pennsylvania.
Is he trying to be Mr. Rogers?
Across our Commonwealth, close to 7 million people cast their votes in a free and fair election. Our county election officials will finish counting those votes just like they do in every election. The American democratic process was born in Pennsylvania, and that process will play out. I want to thank the election workers across our Commonwealth who've been working diligently over this weekend. Their work will ensure Pennsylvanians' voices are heard. Thank you.
They were. You lost. Get out. Get out. You lost. Go. What is he going to tell us how to put on sweaters? Like, what's that? Hello, everyone. I'm Bob Casey. He lost already. He needs to go. That's a problem. But they had their Senate orientation started today. I saw pictures of senators with their little name things and getting their little packets and, you know, doing that whole thing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But they've been going through orientation so far. Bob Casey's not there. He lost. I believe it. I don't think, unless they're trying to cook up some more votes for him. Dude, it was so close in Pennsylvania. It was 50-50. Pennsylvania was why I was telling you. I'm cautiously optimistic because it was coming out of Pennsylvania. And the fact that, I mean, Trump took Pennsylvania, and the fact that McCormick bested Casey, it makes sense when you look at the voting top and down ballot and the turnout in the areas. It all makes, there's no way Casey won that race. There's no way. And it was a narrow victory over Casey, but he didn't win. He didn't win. So this is just stupid at this point. I don't know. But in the meantime, this is what you hear from the left. Audio soundbite 2, Representative Moulton. Listen to this.
But I mean, you know,
The founders had this crazy concept called freedom of speech. Right, and right, we Democrats would do well to remember that foundational American value, because if we can't talk about these tough issues, we're never going to win on them. And guess what? You know who's going to get hurt the most? It's trans kids. It's minorities across America.
You know who's going to get hurt the most? It's going to be that. Like the same Beavis and Butthead thing. Why do you always have to go like this? What kind of trend is that? So Seth Moulton, he's a Democrat. He's from Massachusetts. He's Gen X. Why is he talking like that? Why is he talking like this? What in the world? But I don't understand how he thinks that trans kids and minorities are going to get. What does that even mean? What is the accusation that somehow the right is going to? Trump has already been in office for 4 years. All of the stuff that they said that he's going to do, he didn't do. He didn't go out and he wasn't like burning alphabet people alive. He didn't go off and do anything like that. Nobody got a handmaiden costume. This is so stupid. I mean, I don't think that works as well this time around, because people are smart for the most part. They're like, wait a minute. Even the moderates, they're like, wait a second. He didn't do that last time, though. That's kind of an issue. He didn't do that last time. So why would you think that he's going to do it another time or the second term? Doesn't make any sense. So coming up, we've got the news. Senator Mike Lee said that he's going to have a listening event for the three candidates who are running for Senate Majority Leader. We've got more on some of these cabinet selections as well. We're going to talk about all of those and get into some of this other cultural stuff. So we've got a lot of stuff to hit as we move. Hillsdale College is in southern Michigan. It's a small classical liberal arts Christian college founded in 1844. And they're all about liberty evangelism, because they understand that education is, I mean, you can't have freedom without education. You have to know what your rights are and how they apply. And so that's what they're all about. They're committed to this educational outreach that preserves the values of liberty. They do it through their educational podcasts, their Free Speech Digest and Primus. And they've also been handing out free constitutions, pocket constitutions. And they, the students there, they learn about the principles that prop up this republic. They learn about what keeps the republic working, the differences, the basic 101 differences in terms of why the founders set up our unique country the way that they did, and why it works, and why education is paramount to this. And so for 180 years, this has been Hillsdale's mission, and they've been following it, promoting these principles on their campus and beyond. Take some time to learn more about what makes Hillsdale College unique at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man's death has spurred a nationwide recall of Halo 1000 portable power stations. They said it's a fire hazard in the device. A 79-year-old man in Bradenton, Florida, apparently what got him was smoke inhalation after a fire. And so they've been, I don't know, is that really that crazy? I mean, you got to watch this stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm just going to put my pressure cooker out here and just not watch it. What?
But yeah, it's those battery packs that people use during power outages, and they appear to be safe. They're all in one unit.
The devices manufactured cane in China.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
There it is.
And that's why. Don't buy it, man. Well, because that's what happens. You get all this Chinese-made stuff, and it's going to catch on fire and blow you up. That's what's going to happen. A Florida man was rescued by his friend after he passed out while kayaking. How do you pass out? Volusia County. He passed out and fell into the intracoastal waterway. He fell into the gator's house. I legit got nervous reading this. A friend of the kayaker saved the man from drowning, called for help. A Volusia County Sheriff's Office deputy arrived at the scene. They have body camera footage. It was a VSO Marine deputy driving a boat, and he approached the unconscious kayaker. And they pulled him onto the boat, took him to land. They performed life-saving measures, and the guy was taken. He's regained his pulse, and he's on the road to recovery. But my gosh, that's a terrifying thing. Goodness. This... I got a couple of other ones. Nope. Well, maybe should I? Wow, this one's so bad. All right, so this Florida man, it's being said that he holy ghosted people. He is a local quote-unquote pastor with a dark past as a sex offender. Families in Jacksonville are accusing him of taking money from them. He needed a deposit from everything, said one family member. He apparently was a pastor slash caterer. And Travis Frazier, she hired him off social media. This is according to Action News Jax. And then she said that she got holy ghosted. He apparently did this to a bunch of people. He would pretend to be like this party organizer or caterer, and then they would hire him, and they get deposits for everything. And then he didn't. And then apparently he didn't do anything. Yeah. And then one of the family members said, and then later we found out that he was a sex offender. I got to tell you, like, I always background check everybody I contract out. Like, if you're coming in, if you're painting some of my house, like, if we had to do, like, a ceiling painting because we had a water thing, I'm like, no. I gotta background check you. I'm going to need the names of everybody I'm, like, hardcore. Because, you know, you don't know. Right? I mean, and I've been weird about that since my kids were little. So, not weird. Vigilant. It's called vigilance. A Florida man was arrested for a bomb threat at City Hall over a payroll issue with his employer. I feel like there's a better way to handle that.
Could be.
Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, they arrested Jerome Chambers for making a bomb threat. He was in the area to update residents on polling location changes due to recent hurricanes. Kane, what party do you think he's with? He's probably an independent, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I bet he's, Republican. And apparently he was threatening to kill all kinds of people because that's, I guess, his go-to when he's mad. And he was upset. He couldn't get into his employer's payroll application to get paid. And then he got agitated, threatened to blow up everybody. And then he went and grabbed a black duffel bag from his vehicle, acted like he had a bomb in it, and talked about blowing everybody up. They did not find any explosive devices in the area, in his bag, in his car. So he was arrested for, all right, a lot here. False report about planting a bomb, an explosive, a weapon, a mass destruction, a whole bunch of other stuff, and a violation of probation, possession of controlled substance. Anyway, he was in trouble. So he got arrested. He was arrested promptly. Oh, man. So, and then a Florida man went viral because she, frogs took over her garage in an apocalyptic event. Whoa. They're little. Thousands of baby frogs took over this Florida woman's garage. It's gross and also adorable at the same time. I'm really torn. And they completely all, she said they were all gone the next day, but thousands of little baby frogs took over her garage and then they left the next day. Is that how they were? I don't know. I thought baby frogs were like tadpoles. I caught tadpoles in Black River in southern Missouri. Like, you know, tadpoles. But these are like little frogs, little ones, little guys. Be cute if they stay that little. We have more on the way. So coming up in our third hour, got a lot to get. We got some cultural stuff. Some really one of the dumbest things ever. It's actually under the subhead, I hate people. We got that coming. The Pentagon, some officials are trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do with Trump's orders because they are freaking out. Deep state, man. We got a lot to hit. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast and find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff up there. You can also find us over Channel 347 DirecTV, the chats at Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, X as well. The Senate, I know I told you later today, Senator Mike Lee is having a listening thing, question and answer. He's asking the questions of the Senate nominees for Senate Majority Leader. And we've been talking about it's John Cornyn, it's John Thune, and then it's Rick Scott. So I suggested some questions that I hope he asks. Ron Johnson was floating the idea like they may delay the vote. Technically, they don't even need to do it until after... They're all until literally after Christmas. They really don't have to pick a majority leader just yet. So I don't know what the timeline is for it, but it sounds like there's a little bit of disagreement with not even who, but like when they should be doing this. The other thing is, and I wanted to get Audio Soundbite 17 ready, because the other thing is that and Trump just announced, by the way, that Huckabee is going to be the ambassador to Israel. Great pick. I think it's a great pick. I have no issue with it. I think Rubio was a strong pick that he could have had for Secretary of State. And I think Stefanik at the UN is where she needs to be. And I don't like taking out of the House because it's a very narrow majority and you're going to leave us with a narrower majority than what we have now. That's my only objection. The gnome thing for DHS, why not just make Tom Homan over at DHS? I mean, I like Tom Homan as border czar. He's a great pick, but I just don't see any qualifications that gnome has for this. I mean, you know, the gravel pit aside, I don't even know why this department needs to continue. Someone said, well, you know, it's going to take an act of Congress to dismantle it. Okay, say you're going to dismantle it and then make that your last announcement just to underscore how you are, you know, very much interested in getting rid of that bloated department that has not done anything. So I think that's all. That was my only, because I just don't think it needs to exist. And I don't know what her credentials are. I don't get that. And, you know, furthermore, when I was looking back at some of my notes, didn't she bring a lot of Afghan refugees into South Dakota? I just remember that from a while ago. I remember there was a lot of discussion about that. And so I don't know. I don't know, because when Trump abolished the whole, that's when they were doing the refugee resettlement thing, remember? A state had to opt in because he abolished it, except if a state wanted to opt in, and as governor, she opted her state in. So I don't know how that reconciles. I'm just giving you the facts. And I will caution people. I don't care what kind of victories we have. I am a constitutionalist and it is our right. We don't live in a monarchy. We have to hold our elected officials accountable, even the ones we like. People need to get used to this idea. I think they've gotten way too used to being on the outside. You need to realize that even when you win, you still have to do your job as citizens, as patriots, and hold your elected officials accountable. It's a hell of a lot easier to hold them accountable and correct their path when they're in office than to try to reclaim the office after they've lost it due to bad decisions. So keep that in your mind. I don't know how you reconcile that whole thing. But otherwise, I like the picks. I don't have an issue with the picks so far. I'm just nervous about the House. And I'm not the only one who's nervous about taking out of our narrow majority. Steve Scalise was saying, yeah, you know, maybe we need to slow the roll on picking out of the Senate. Audio soundbite 17. Listen.
He knew that if he had won the election, this would be his last opportunity to serve as president of the United States. And there will not be a minute to waste. And you can see his resolve already. And how quickly he's making really good, smart picks. I know he's already pulled a few really talented people out of the House, hopefully no more for a little while, until special elections can come. But it shows you the talent that we have.
Yeah, at least wait a little bit, because you're going to really narrow that majority. And I want to make sure that we're not doing that. Now, with the appointment of Marco Rubio to cabinet, to SOS, that's going to leave a seat open that can be filled by an appointment. And that's something that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis can do, is he can make that, he can have that be an appointment. And going by, and this is me looking at the voting patterns of the Floridian voters, and I'm pulling up some of my notes, because I was so fascinated with how they undid Colorado's blueprint and flip their state in one election cycle, that I started taking notes on everything. They really, I will say this, Florida voters love their politicians. They want them to have an established amount of time in Florida, and they expect them to not only have ties to Florida, but have been in Florida on the ground. And they want people that have a history in it. They want people that have ties to it. They want politicians that put in the legwork to flip the state. And there are a couple of names that are floating around. I think one of the smarter names, James Uthmeyer out of Florida. He's a conservative, has a lot of understanding of the state of things, has really worked hard to get a lot of really good Republicans elected in Florida, gets it. I think he would be really good. They have some really good conservative stalwarts. And I think that you need something like that, because think about it. You have an opportunity. And this is where, so this is when you need to spike the football a little bit and you need to be hardcore. When you can get a nominee like this in, waste no time and no chance. Get a hardcore constitutionalist in. Someone who also backs a strong border. Someone who backs Trump's view of China and goes in line with that, because this administration gets that that's our biggest geopolitical foe. You need to understand that. You need someone who understands that in the Senate. Someone who also realizes that part of the victory is protecting the gains in the judicial branch. And you need a hardcore firebrand stalwart. You have to have a hard constitutionalist in here. Don't waste this opportunity. Error towards someone who is even more constitutionalist than would perhaps win in a general election in that seat. You have the opportunity to do it. Do it. I think it would be stupid if that opportunity was missed. It would be dumb to waste the appointment on anything less than a hardcore constitutionalist. What we have, somebody that reflects the mandate and that can do it and get it done and understands the procedure. Somebody that has like the track record to go by. You need that. You need it. So I hope maybe DeSantis can consider Ruth Meyer. I hope, you know, I don't tell the governor what to do. I don't tell Trump what to do. I don't tell, you know, you just kind of hope that maybe they, you know, goes along with it. But you have there's such an opportunity here for a smart appointment. Now, everybody has, someone said Byron Donalds. I don't dislike Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds attended my birthday dinner, just FYI. There's photos on Instagram. I don't dislike Byron Donalds as a senator. I actually don't want to see him as a senator. When DeSantis terms out, I think that he would be more inclined. I know that he is. I think he's interested in governor. I think he would be better suited for that. That's me. And why in the hell would you take the man out of the House? People who are like, use Byron Donald. What the hell's the matter with you? Why are you taking Byron? Do you not understand? We have a narrower majority right now than we do currently. We are going to have a narrower majority than we do currently. Why would you take someone out of the House to do that? You have a little bit more runway in the Senate. No. And I think he's more inclined for governor. Now, that said, I think it would be a good appointment, and I think he needs to do that. I know some people have been saying Lara Trump for the seat. Lara Trump is very nice. I know her. She's very lovely. Guys, you cannot sit here and appoint her for everything. And you can't put a Trump family member in every position. Let's be realistic. No. I'm sorry, but no. I think she's fine where she is. But you can't sit here and go, why not just put her for all the nominations? I mean, my gosh, you're going to nominate her for Senate. Why the hell not for Secretary of State, too? Guess you don't like her. Stop. We got some really good constitutionalist choices. Some people are more their gifts inclined more to being in the Senate. Some their gifts are more inclined to organizing with RNC. Some their gifts are more inclined to being in the House. Some their gifts are more inclined to doing gubernatorial tasks. Some their gifts are more inclined with maybe like being Secretary of State. I mean, everybody has a different calling card. Realize that. I will tell you, can you just pause right here for a moment? And I want you to think. Drop your animosity about picks and everything else. How nice is it to not be Democrats and not have any choices? Imagine for one moment, if you will. I feel like Prince right now. When doves cry. Imagine for a moment if this is kind of a nightmare, if it was Harry Walz, who would they pick? They literally have nobody. You're going to get a bunch of randos with no experience who are just activists that are in these positions. So it's a good problem to have, right? Coming up, we're going to talk about this stupid narrative about deporting everything. People are, have you heard that there people are saying Tom Homan wants to deport Americans? What? We're going to talk about the origin of this BS here coming up. He's going to be on with us later in this week as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, apparently old people are getting high. Wall Street Journal says that apparently a lot of old people that are dealing with dementia are looking to marijuana because it apparently helps calm agitation. But I thought it made you super suspicious, didn't it? Yeah, or sorry, paranoid, right? Yeah. Doesn't it make you paranoid? Is that not the last thing you want is like a dementia person dealing with paranoia?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you're right. Some people do suffer from paranoia.
It said that they're using it for sleep, anxiety, and pain, and many of them are taking it to manage their dementia symptoms. It's cannabis. Whenever I see cannabis, I'm always like, oh, pinky's out, right? It's not pot, weed, or marijuana. It's cannabis. That's totally what it looks like. They said that it's supposed to help alleviate anxiety, agitation, and pain, and all that. But again, all I know, aren't there like jokes about you being like people getting super paranoid? So that's why I'm like, I don't know. This seems a weird. Okay, this is. So, scientists are planning to install a giant underwater curtain to stop what they say is a doomsday glacier melt. I don't think these people know how curtains work. You know, the thing that helps to keep out light? We're going to use it to stop water. Well, unless they're going to... Do they think they're actually... Why not just cover it up? I don't know. Cover up the glacier. I don't know. They said that they want to... It's an underwater curtain. I don't understand. No, it's not. I don't know. This
from
is
the
so,
same people that wanted to block out the sun.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Great.
They said that the underwater curtain is going to stop the warm water from touching the glacier.
Oh.
Do you mean wall or curtain? They said curtain. I these people were called the butter, didn't they? They did. Let's see. We had more UFO swarms filmed buzzing over Area 51 and other military sites after that mothership encounter. Just come out with it. Wait, who's taking over CIA? Who's going to be taking over CIA? No, they don't. I don't think so. I don't think they have. Whoever it is, tell us about the aliens. I want to know. Don't promise it. I want to know. Because I feel like they're just setting us up. Like, okay, more and more, it's going to be a drip drip, and then all of a sudden, aliens. Just let us know now. You know, this sounds horrible. First off, porta potties fell off a truck during a morning commute in Massachusetts. Oh, so bad. They fell right off. The truck failed to clear a low situated overpass. And it knocked them right off the road, right off the truck, right into the road. Yes, they were full. And apparently the smell was horrendous, according to eyewitnesses and passerby. Ooh. And a cruise company is announcing a 4-year skip forward cruise for Americans who want to escape the Trump presidency. Go on a cruise, and I don't know where they're going to go, but they'll take, I guess, for 4 years, live on a ship. Just don't let them come back. I don't know. Stick with us. We got more in store.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. Lots of discussion because we've had picks coming in and cabinet picks, and I think it was, what, just like within the last half hour, they said that Mike Huckabee is going to be the U.S. ambassador to Israel, which is a great pick. And I think that there's some some interesting picks that are coming out. Ron Johnson said that he is going to push for a delay in the Senate leader vote. Trump is apparently going to D.C. tomorrow to visit and sit down and talk with folks. So we'll see how this goes. But they're expected to have, supposed to be by secret ballot tomorrow. But now I think it's Johnson, and I'm hearing like some others are like kind of pushing to have that delayed. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, can we talk about the deportation narrative? And later this week, we're going to be talking to Tom Homan about this. But this whole deportation narrative thing, I don't know where this is coming from, because it went from people who are here illegally will be deported. Okay. But the left was like, no, we got to make something up because that sounds too acceptable to people. So we need to say that they're just going to start deporting Americans. Where did that come from? This is a audio soundbite 11, and Tom Homan is at his end. And listen to the soundbite. He's like, for crying out loud, listen.
U.S. citizens can't be deported. That is a ridiculous statement to make. Look, we're going to target, I've said it over and over again, we're going to target the worst of the worst first, and that's going to be our priority. U.S. citizens are perfectly safe. Legal immigrants are perfectly safe, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Why can't he be DHS secretary? Or head up DHS? I think that makes better sense. I don't know if there's like a concern about him getting confirmed, but I just feel like he would be, I know borders are, but I feel like, that's like something that, I don't know. But he also had a warning, audio soundbite 12, to sanctuary cities. Listen to this.
Look, I've seen some of these Democratic governors say they're going to stand in the way. They're going to make it hard for us. Well, a suggestion. If you're not going to help us, get the hell out of the way if we're going to do it. So if we can't get assistance from New York City, and we may have to double the number of agents we send to New York City, because we're going to do the job. Yeah. We're going to do the job without you or with you.
Yeah, I mean that's a perfect acceptable response. Yeah, 1,000%. So with him as border czar, now then they tapped Rubio for Secretary of State, and this is, I will say, looking. Oh, there's a really good soundbite here. Here it is. This is a flashback on, this is audio soundbite 8. So Rubio, my only concern, I don't like reducing the narrow margins that we have in the Senate or House. Rubio, DeSantis can appoint, we talked about this last segment, a strong constitutionalist. And there are a lot of really good choices in Florida that I think would be good with Myers. I think would be the best, because you can actually get like a hardcore constitutionalist that'll steamroll over all the parliamentary nonsense in the Senate. But Rubio, his seat is a relatively safe pick because you don't have to worry about a Democrat getting it. But this is being touted as like his audition. He wasn't meaning it, I don't think, as an audition, but it was viewed as like an audition tape. But I think this is why I feel fine with him in this spot. Audio soundbite 8.
Rubio, will you call for ceasefire?
No, I will not.
Gaza?
On the contrary,
Rubio,
are you filming it? Well, yes. I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes, and I hope you guys post that.
And
that's
what about
position.
The civilians that
I blame
are being
Hamas.
Killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. Hamas has stopped building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed?
I think it's horrifying. I think it's terrible, and I think Hamas is 100% to blame.
This is Code Pink that was doing this. They ought to get a thank you bouquet for that. And that was strong. So good. Totally fine with that. That's good. All good things. Happy with that. So yeah, I don't really have any criticisms of him in that spot. I think, like I said, you got to play to certain people's strengths. Certain people shouldn't be in, like Ilya Stefanik. I don't want her doing fiscal policy. Fine to send her to the UN, because she'll bully them. And that's great. I want them to be bullied. they deserve it. Can we talk about this butter? This is, I've never seen a more idiotic demonstration of big government than this. Have you guys heard about this? Costco is being forced to recall 80,000 pounds of butter. Why? Because they failed to state on the box that it contains milk. It was the Kirkland Signature Sweet Cream Butter. And it lists cream as an ingredient. But it doesn't say that it contains milk.
Where's cream come from, though?
I think that there should be a recall of anyone who doesn't understand that butter is made with milk. And that cream, I feel like Sam Kinison, is milk. 80,000 pounds.
But why recall it? Why not just say, hey, sorry, this didn't end up on the package, but, you know, it's milk.
Obviously contains milk, you butt hats. It obviously contains it. No, no, no. It's, I mean, everyone was like, it's butter, though.
So there was no E. coli. There was no poison. There was no harmful ingredient accidentally dropped into the batch.
Why didn't they just, like, put a sticker on it that said, has butter in it, you idiot? Or milk in it. Yeah, why didn't they just do that? That's like saying, well, they didn't say that the water was wet. So, you know, you got to recall the water. Because they did not say that it was wet, the water. Or as Kane's favorite word, moist. You guys didn't say that the water was moist. So, you know, we can't have this here. It's butter. You know how expensive butter's been? I got a lot of baking to do for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So can I have it? Can you recall it to my house? That'd be great. Because I mean, it's like what? Well, you got to be careful. We tried to sell a Thanksgiving turkey, but they didn't say it was a bird. Got to say contains bird. You got to put it on the turkey that there's some poultry in here. And you didn't. So we got to recall them turkeys or like eggs. Well, you guys didn't say that contains chicken.
Right. Contains shells.
Or that these hamburgers, though, they contain beef. You know, you got to put that on here. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They actually did it.
Does this salad contain lettuce?
Yeah.
The heck?
And the FDA was like, well, there hasn't been any illnesses because there's nothing wrong with it. Who, if you are a person that's allergic to milk and you're like, I'm going to eat butter and sue, I think all of everyone in the United States should be able to form a class action lawsuit against you because you're so stupid. You endanger all of humanity by diluting the gene pool with your dumb acidry. And for that offense, the entire country should be able to all coalesce into one giant class action lawsuit against you. I feel like I would allow that if I were President Dana. Executive order, so it is written, so it is done. You would not want me in that office. Oh, I will be a tyrant. I'm not even going to lie. I would, like Javier Milei, I would make my hair crazier. And I would go in and I would literally just be setting stuff on fire. Not rhetorically.
You're kind of selling me.
I would go in with a sledgehammer. I would start, I don't know where, the Federal Reserve? Where do I go? There's so many things to destroy. Where are they? Rhetorically, don't come and drone me.
Quit selling me on the idea you don't like.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it would be so fun. And then if something took too long in the committee, knock, knock, here's Johnny. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's such a waste. But they didn't say, did they have to? So why can't they just be like, oh, we'll put a sticker on it. Why does all the butter got to go? What am I missing? Why can't you just put a sticker on it?
Or just trust people to know that butter.
No, you can't trust people to know, okay? Milk. We are the government. People are stupid.
Kind of hand in hand.
This coffee's hot. Water's wet.
We shouldn't encourage
butter has
that.
Milk in it.
This only encourages that is the thing.
That's what they want. Now you get it. The government wants you to be dumb, so you need the government. The government is like your Ike Turner. want you to just submit, man.
Wait, no one told me there were idiots in government.
They need you to be dumb so that they can do what they do, right? And the more you depend on them, the dumber you get. This is just one of the most big government things I think I've ever seen in my life. Like what? Who checks all the labels? For, I mean, this is the same government that's like smoking is healthy enough. I mean, who does this? You know, the same government that was like, you better put on your face, Penty, if you want to pretend that you're stopping those germs from getting into your upper respiratory system for the woo flu. Sure, take this experimental injection. We don't know what the hell it does. Just because you know the government would never tell you wrong. Isn't that right, Kane? They know everything. Uncle Sam knows best. Isn't that right? This is so dumb. This makes me angry. You know what I would have? Is it at all the Costco's? Can I still go there and like throw myself onto the blocks of butter? No, not without my butter. I don't know. This is so dumb. I hate government. That's another thing that needs to get rid of. What is this? EPA? Hold up. EPA? Who was it that somebody else got picked? What are my notes? To head up EPA? Who was it? I forget. Someone in my notes. Got Waltz. You got this guy. Got that. I don't know who it is, but I would love it.
Lee Zeldin, right?
Oh, yeah. Lee Zeldin. That's right. I like Lee Zeldin. It would be hilarious if he went in there and was like, I fire myself and blank all you guys. This department is decommissioned. Oh. And then POTUS was like, yep, and here's the EO. Oh. I don't know what I would do. I don't think I could be happier than that.
That'd be the quickest way to pay the deficit.
It's like getting a Nintendo for Christmas when you're a kid and it's 1992. I don't know. It'd be super exciting.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
I am the level of breathlessness that Axios is reporting on the story is hysterical. Here's the headline. Are you guys ready? Get ready. Baby dog banned. What? Jim Justice's bulldog named Baby Dog. Cannot visit the Senate floor. I'm going to read it just like they have it, okay? Incoming Senator Jim Justice was told he could not bring his bulldog Baby Dog onto the Senate floor on Tuesday during orientation. Three sources in the room tell Axios why it matters. Baby Dog is a political celebrity, often accompanying Justice to events and famously taking the stage at the RNC, but she apparently won't be at his side during legislative sessions in the Senate. How it happened, Justice was told. That's the subhead. By the Senate floor staff that only service dogs are allowed on the floor, and they would have to be an analysis on potential allergies.
Oh, is that it? Allergies?
I mean, a lot of them will wander the halls with their members. It's just the Senate floor refers to. I'm fine with dogs not being on the Senate floor. I say this as a dog person.
Baby Dog's a bulldog, though, right? Like,
yeah, Baby Dog's a bulldog.
It's not like it's a
hairy, and an actual adult dog,
like,
but whatever.
Husky.
Huh?
What do you mean allergic? Like it's a husky?
Well,
like
I don't
it's
know.
A German Shepherd?
I don't know. I mean, it should not be. I don't want it turned into a zoo. Okay, let's not start bringing our like cats and ferrets and dogs. Right. And I say this as a huge dog person. I'm fine with them being in the halls of Congress. I don't care. They're in their office. They walk around the Senate and the Hart building. I am fine, but. Cannon and Hart, they walk around both. But I, you know, you're there, you're doing the votes, you know. Did he not know that you couldn't? Apparently, Bernie Moreno raised the joke as a joke. And then I guess like they were not messing around. They're like, no, Baby Dog cannot come on the floor. People were like, damn, Wanda, we were just, you know, joking. Calm down. I don't know if anybody named Wanda actually said it. It just, you know. I love that. I don't think Baby Dog cares. You know, I don't think Baby Dog is sitting back in Justice's office going, I'm all alone. No one's bringing me to the Senate floor. I don't think that's happening here. Oh, wow. Remember, he had it sitting on the chair.
But isn't a vote for Jim Justice just a vote for Baby Dog?
I mean, really, people voted for Baby Dog. They didn't vote for right. Jim Justice. Jim Justice is Baby Dog's emotional support human. So They didn't. They weren't really voting for him. It's Senator Baby Dog.
I feel like Baby Dog.
Why is he not selling plushies of this thing? Senator Baby Dog. You know how much money you'd raise? You can credit me on the tag. I'm all right with it. Let me have some pets. But Kane, I'm not raising this point. You are. Do it.
Well, is this the same Senate where the Democrat staffers were having butt out videos and doing?
You mean where they were doing gay porn in the Senate chamber?
Senate chamber.
Yes.
But somehow
gay porn's okay, but not
but
baby dog.
Baby dog's the problem.
Okay. All right. Whatever you say.
And that's, I don't even think we needed today in stupidity after that almost, but I will allot, you have your allotted time,
that was,
Kane.
That was Baby Dog's cocaine in the White House.
It was Baby Dog's cocaine. Baby Dog wasn't it? It was Baby Dog's cocaine. Blame it all on Baby Dog. That's the book. Blame it on Baby Dog. There you go.
All right. Well, today in stupidity, we do have time because our commander in chief, boy, was he in common form today. Listen to this.
President Biden, do you think that you can get a hostage deal by the end of your term?
That question. So asking whether or not he can do a hostage deal, he follows up with, do you think you could get hit in the head with that camera?
Yeah.
He's phoning it in now.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care
anymore. Yeah, why don't you go fall in the hallway? I mean, like, why?
Go outside and practice falling down.
I hope Baby Dog bites you. Oh my gosh. All right. That does it for us today. It's nuts. Baby Dog's Day. Thanks, guys. Make sure to find us on Facebook, Substack. I'll be back with you tomorrow.